Last week, we continued our series, The Issues of Distinction, and we started talking about the purpose of baptism. One thing that we noted was that there is a common denominational view regarding baptism. Baptism, they say, has nothing to do with salvation. And we quoted from a Baptist doctrine that is preached, where Baptists believe that no one is subject for baptism till he is already saved. And we pointed out several others, comment quotes from this book, why Baptists believe and why they believe it. But as I said last week, my purpose is not to single out Baptists, but because the reason is all Baptists don't hold to this view. But the purpose of baptism from this perspective makes baptism just a simple public declaration of their faith. Then we notice the biblical view regarding baptism. Is baptism a public proclamation of one's faith? We talked about this. There is no teaching in the Bible that says that this is the purpose of baptism. If baptism were solely a public proclamation of one's faith, then what about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8? What about the Philippian jailer and his family in Acts 16? Both are examples that imply that the purpose of baptism is for the simple reason of professing public faith. What about what the Bible teaches about baptism? When you are baptized into Christ, the Bible says you put on the Lord. Your sins are washed away. Your sins are remitted or forgiven. And things like that. We quoted from George Beasley Murray, a Baptist scholar. And he talked about, in light of the foregoing exposition of the New Testament representations of baptism, the idea that baptism is a purely symbolic rite must be pronounced not alone unsatisfactory, but out of harmony with the New Testament itself. And we went on and we noticed that when it comes to the Bible, when coming to study the Bible with an open mind, we have to consider whatever the Bible says about baptism. And we concluded by asking, what are the ramifications if it really doesn't matter or make any difference why one is baptism? So we want to pick up this morning and ask, what difference does it make? Some people boldly proclaim that it makes no difference at all, that God will accept a baptism for any and every and whatever different purpose. That while a person may mistakenly think that they were saved at the point of believing, their sins are forgiven at the point of baptism. Now, isn't this rather presumptuous on their part? In other words, aren't they speaking for God? When the Bible doesn't say what He will or will not do in such cases. But I want to suggest to you that there is a difference. At best, it raises a serious question about one's obedience to the gospel. Has one really obeyed the message of Christ if they respond to a perverted version of it? Today, most people are told to simply repent and say a sinner's prayer. But the apostles nowhere ever taught that. Jesus never taught that. What they commanded were the people were to repent and be baptized, like on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38. So the question begs to be asked, can a person be taught wrong and baptized right? In Acts 19 and verses 1 through 5, we have a case of rebaptism. John's disciples came to Jesus and didn't qualify as meeting the conditions of the baptism that Christ commanded. So they asked to be rebaptized. And even though John's baptism was the will of God for a short time, if John's baptism required being rebaptized in the name of Christ, how much more those who were not baptized for the right purpose today? At worst, there are some serious consequences. People who sincerely think that they are saved are still lost. Preachers and teachers who today say that baptism has nothing to do with salvation are teaching a perverted gospel. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, that those that heard what he preached should understand that if they believe something different, He said, you know the truth. You've heard the truth. And anyone that comes preaching anything other than the truth to you shall be cursed. And he said, I marvel that you have so soon turned from the truth. In any case, it's going to affect the way that someone preaches. Here again is Beasley Murray. He says, first, there ought to be a greater endeavor to make baptism integral to the gospel. That's amazing. He said, baptism basically is essential, an essential part of the gospel that's being preached. He goes on to say, it is taken as axiomatic amongst us Baptists that the proclamation of the gospel consisting of making the redemptive acts of God in Christ known and calling for faith in Christ as the due response. He says, baptism is then a proper subject for exposition in the inquirer's class, along with instruction as to the nature of the church, of worship, of Christian obligation in the church and to the world, etc. Isn't it amazing that people today that do not believe that baptism is essential, in a sense, have ancestors that said you need to read the Bible and see that baptism is really essential to salvation. And you need to read the Bible to see what the work of the church is, the nature of the church, how we're to worship, and your obligation as a child of God to the church and to this world. Peter had a response in Acts 2 and verse 38. The cry of his conscience-stricken hearers on the day of Pentecost was not repent and believe. Instead, Peter said, repent and be baptized. He never said repent or believe and say the sinner's prayer. So naturally, faith was presumed in repentance. But Peter's answer told the Jews how to become Christians. Faith and repentance are to be expressed in baptism, and so they are to come to the Lord. Baptism here is a part of the proclamation of Christ. It is an apostolic sermon. It comes as its logical conclusion. The apostles preached it. The apostles were the inspired writers. The Holy Spirit gave them the mind of God. And we are to believe what they said, what they taught, what they commanded. And we are to be obedient to that. To be anything other than obedient to what is written in the pages of God's Word leaves us falling short of heaven. Beasley went on to say, an effort ought to be made to restore this note in our preaching. He says, in the Baptist preaching. To restore this note in our preaching would certainly make a difference in the issues of distinction. Our response to the question, what shall we do, will be similar to Peter's response on Pentecost. Repent and be baptized. And people will respond to the preaching of Christ, just like the eunuch in Acts 8. His response was, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? You notice Philip didn't say, well, now when you get back into town, you be baptized and that will show that you've already been saved. Nothing like that was ever taught in the pages of God's Word. And yet today, rarely do we hear in so many churches preachers commanding his audience like Peter did in Acts 2 and verse 38 to repent and be baptized. Or listeners who just heard a sermon from God's Word asking the question like the eunuch did in Acts 8 and verse 36. Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? You know, I find it interesting. A few years back, when I was preaching at another congregation, we had an issue with the baptistry. And the decision was made to try to purchase a new one and have it installed. The mindset of our religious world today does not keep a baptistry filled for anybody that wishes to be baptized. What I was told was that the reasoning or the purpose of how they sell baptisms, the the pool nowadays is for the occasional planned out baptism. In other words, what I was told was they follow the Baptist doctrine. They're not designed to hold water for somebody like the Philippian jailer who may want to be baptized at midnight. They wait and plan it out like so many of our denominational world does today. We need to be hearing sermons today like Peter preached in Acts 2 and verse 38. We need to be hearing responses like the eunuch did in Acts 8 and verse 36. We need to be teaching and telling penitent believers what Ananias told Saul of Tarsus in Acts, in Paul's recounting of his own conversion in Acts 22 and verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The reason ought to be clear. Something has changed. Something has changed in our hearing to where we understand the urgency of baptism. Something needs to be changed in our preaching so that more people understand the true biblical purpose of baptism. Yes, I believe the purpose of baptism is another issue of distinction. Because our view on the purpose of baptism makes a great difference in what the different congregations believe in. It affects the preaching that is done in these places. And sadly, it affects the souls of those people who hear what's being preached at these locations. So I believe that we must fully understand the distinction between the issues or the views on baptism. And we need to make certain that our understanding is in harmony with God's word. In harmony with God's word, not man's doctrine. And we need to be, with love, reaching out to those who are in error. So let me ask you a final question. Two questions. First question is, what is your understanding about what the Bible teaches about baptism? And have you been baptized for the purpose revealed in the scriptures, or were you baptized according to what some doctrine of man has told you? Were you saved and then baptized at a later, more public event? Or were you baptized for salvation at the moment you believed? You see, that's what we read in the scriptures. Every time you read throughout the book of Acts, the history of the Lord's church in the first century, anytime someone was baptized, there seemed to be a sense of urgency. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, what hinders me? Well, today the hindrance is it doesn't flow with what man wants you to believe. Man says, let's do it our way because it's more convenient. What's more convenient as far as getting to heaven? Doing what man says or doing what God says? In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, we're told there that it's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. My simple conclusion to this issue of distinction is if you want to go to heaven, you have to get there according to God's plan and not man's plan. Now, I understand you may disagree with this lesson, and I certainly expect that. But if you do and you'd like to discuss this with me, I am open for discussion. But as I've said in the past, bring your Bible, show me book, chapter, and verse for where I am wrong, and I will make a public acknowledgement that I am wrong. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. I want to thank you for being with me again today.